I don't care who you are, what you don't have, what it don't seem possible you can do or get at this point. I don't care who you are or what the circumstances are. You can make it.
Hallelujah.
We can make it. Amen. Because, you know, God, you know, He's for us, not against us. I'll talk about this in a minute. Right now I want to sing a song dedicated to me. Amen. Well, we are surrounded by life's many struggles, and there are valleys that we must go through. God will deliver us from all of our troubles. It is amazing what God can do. Look up.
Look up
and lift up your eyes.
You've got a right
to be happy. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And don't be surprised when good things happen to you and me. Look up.
Look up
and lift up your eyes.
You've got a right
to be happy. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And don't be surprised when good things happen to you and me. So if you're discouraged, don't get all down and disheartened. We serve a God who really cares for you. Just hold to His hand and keep on trusting. There's nothing impossible for God to do. Look up.
Look up.
And lift up your eyes.
You've got a right.
You've got a right to be happy. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And don't be surprised when good things happen to you and me. Look up.
Look up.
And lift up your eyes.
You've got a right.
You've got a right to be happy. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And don't be surprised when good things happen to you and me. Look up, I'm feeling better now. Lift up your eyes,
you've got a right.
You've got a right to be happy. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And don't be surprised when good things happen to you and me. Look up and lift up your eyes,
you've got a right
to be happy. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And don't be surprised when good things happen to you and me. I just feel like praising the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. I'm going to read a verse of scripture. I know some more of you probably have some testimonies and songs, but I feel this on my heart. Amen. And I don't want to get the floor late. Some of you might want to testify longer than I want you to today. So I want to take your time. Amen. I'm in the book of 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Jesus. The book of 2 Corinthians. And this is a writing of Paul to the church at Corinth. And he starts it off in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Amen. Now here's the folly he's talking about. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He's just saying, you know, I brought you to God. I've had a lot to do with you being where you are. I want you to stay clean and pure. This is to the church at Corinth. God wants our church to be a virgin church also. Yes. Just as the lady that brought forth the Christ child was a virgin. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You may be seated. This is so simple. It's so simple. Bible scholars are still trying to figure it out. But it's so simple. God's way of putting things together, the whole operation of all creation. It's yes or no, up or down, right or left, forward or backward, in or out. I mean, this is baby stuff. Good or bad, heaven or hell. You know, we could go on and on and on talking about how simple it really is. At a very early age, we learned to say yes and no. Many of us said no more than we said yes. And many of us still do. Yes, no, no, no. You know, and well, there's not really a maybe, you know. I mean, not with God. There's that, we use maybes, but God wants a yes or a no. He actually wants a yes. He wants us to make up our mind. If we're not going to say yes, then get out of the way. That's the way God looks at it. That's why He'll spew us out of His mouth if we stay on a maybe. It's like, there's no purgatory. It's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. God doesn't have any other mediators besides Jesus. And the only way He's a mediator is because God, in His creation, brought something forth that had the capability of sinning. And He made it possible that all this could happen. And, you know, I can't figure out all there is to know about God, but I can use my simple brain because He made things simple for us. And I can just use some common sense reasoning and think about some possibilities that very well could be true. God might have been pretty lonely. You think about this. There's nothing created. It's hard to figure it out because it's way beyond our ability, but there's nothing created. Because if anything was created before God did it, then there's another God besides God. So there's nothing there other than God. And there was nobody for Him to talk to. Nobody for Him to walk with. And everything that He would make would be subject to His command because He's God. And He does all things perfect. I mean, you've never seen early in the morning the sun refuse to shine. But you can see early in the morning and all day long people refuse to do right. You'll never see the moon say, I'm too tired to rise today. And when you go out at night, you'll find that the stars are still up there. They're always on time. They never decide that I want to take a day off. And you think about how vast creation is, how big it is. And God made all things and made it so it would do what He told it to do. But He was still lonely. He wanted to have somebody to communicate with, I believe. This is from the book of Rutledge, chapter 1. I believe He wanted to have somebody to communicate with that could say no to Him. That could make a bad choice. It only makes sense because He made the devil. I mean, He made the best creature of all of His creative ability. Lucifer was the finest of the finest. So fine that he thought he was God. Or he wanted everybody else to think he was. And God made this fabulous creature called Lucifer. And Lucifer became a devil. It couldn't have happened if God hadn't allowed it. God knows what He's doing. And He can, just as He's able to hold all things together by the power of His presence, He's able to make the devil do anything He wants the devil to do. And He's able to make you do anything He wants you to do. But this wonderful, great Creator that made all things wanted somebody, somewhere to come forth that would be able to say no and choose to say yes. That would be able to be not loving and choose to love. That would have the ability to be disrespectful and be respectful. That would have the ability to be down all the time, but yet do whatever it takes to rise up.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And about the only way this could work in God's plan and His scheme is to put something there that can tempt us, that can cause us to have something pulling at us and say to us, you know, you mean God said this? Let me tell you what I have to say about it. Or, you know, you can find a lot of friends and neighbors that talk just like that. You mean your church teaches this? Let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you what I believe. Let me tell you how I see this. It's just like that old serpent in the garden. Hath God said, you shouldn't do this? Oh, that preacher teaches that over there in that church. You've heard that kind of talk before. You mean you go to that church? I mean, they'll say that to you right after you came out of this place all positive, feeling good, dancing, shouting, praising God, singing, feeling so wonderful. And you meet that old devil at the door and say, and you call that church. And in the middle of all this, there's God who's watching. He's watching. He's looking for somebody that can still walk with Him in the cool of the day and hear His voice and talk to Him. Not because He made us to do that. Not because He forced us to do that. But we found a way to do that because He is God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, for the eternal God to love humanity so much, to allow us to be a failure and yet make it possible that we could be saved. I mean, the world, the way a lot of the world looks at this, it's some kind of a big, big game that God's playing. If there is a God, you know, they look at it like this, say, well, why would God do this or why would God do that? Well, all these big people with all these big questions in their big minds and that are able to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, you know, I really don't have a good explanation that will satisfy them because they already know it all. But I'm talking to simple-minded people today about the simplicity that's in Christ. How easy it is to come to know the Creator of all things simply by being able to say no and deciding to say yes. Simply by having the ability to go backward and put your foot out and say, I'm going forward. In a negative atmosphere, in a negative world where everything's coming against you, to rise up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God doesn't make us say that. See, it would not work if He would treat us like He does the moon and the stars and all of creation. They don't have a soul. They can't make a choice. They're commanded to be there, and they're going to be there till God lets them fall. If you ever see anything fall from the sky, it'll be because God didn't need it anymore. It won't be because it decided, I don't want to be here anymore. Thank you, Jesus. All you scientists that are worried about this big thing that's coming through the sky that's going to hit the earth in 300 million years, don't worry about it. Between now and then, God may decide He doesn't want it to hit the earth. Besides that, where are you going to be? The simplicity that's in Christ. Paul just wants this church that he was addressing here at Corinth, but we can read this letter and say, that's my mail too. Because I've been born into this same church. He wants it to be something that can be presented as a chaste virgin to Christ. But he said, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity. Everybody say it's simple. Don't let your mind get corrupted because this is so simple. I mean, life can look so complicated, and there are so many tangents and so many ways we can go. I mean, people go nuts just because it gets so complicated just to live. Just to make it through the day. Rise up on Monday morning, they don't know what to expect. Oh my, things are piled up. You know, if a lot of folks knew what I have to face tomorrow morning, you'd have a nervous breakdown. No, I got all kinds of choices I can make. I could even make a choice to unplug everything here. Walk out, lock the door, and say, we can't meet there anymore because we can't afford the money. Besides that, you know, if God wanted it, we wouldn't have any problem doing it. So let's go out here and meet by the river. I want to tell you something. God could bless us just as much out there as He can in here. And He can use us to win the lost just as much without electricity as He can with it. Without computers, without TV, without radio, we don't have to have internet to reach the world. Hallelujah. But since we got it and God didn't say no, we can say yes to God with it, and what a tool it can be. But don't ever think that we're depending on the internet to have a revival. No way, Jose. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's just another tool. I'm not depending on my automobile to take me to heaven either. Thank the Lord with me right now. Praise God. And I'm not depending on keeping the lights on to keep me going. Or paying the rent to keep my head up. Oh, these things get on my mind when the phone rings sometimes. Or the letter comes. That's not a big deal. That's not really a big deal. The big deal is, yeah, and besides that, think about, you know, the balance of things here. Think of the worst thing that's troubling your mind right now. I don't know what it may be. I mean, anything you can think of. The worst pressure that's on you right now. Do you realize in just a moment's time that could be the lightest thing happening to you? Yeah. It could mean you could actually wish that you were back to this moment again. All it takes is a pain in your heart hitting you. And you realizing, I'm having a heart attack. Then wouldn't you prefer to owe a lot of people a lot of money and not know where the next meal's coming from for sure, but know there's food in the world out there somewhere and don't know how you're going to explain the situation to your boss why you couldn't go to work all last week and you spent all the time on the fishing bank trying to think. All these things piled up on you, just piled up on you. But all it takes is one phone call to say your child just got hit by an 18-wheeler and there's no hope. Then all of a sudden you wish we could just back it up a little bit before this happened. Wouldn't you rather have the pressures of life and the problems with the blessings that you do have now that are so much with us? Think of how blessed you are. Think of how blessed you are. The Creator of all things loves you and wants to be close to you wants to talk to you and lead you by the hand and tell you that he's there for you no matter what. Peter was walking on top of the water. Walking on top of the water. Look at this. Walking on top of the water in the sea. And it was storming, and he's walking on top of the water. That's impossible. Not in this case. Because he's looking toward Jesus. And he's going toward Jesus. And his whole attention is, this is being done by Jesus. Ain't no way I can do what I'm doing. Jesus is taking me through this impossible situation. There's no way. There is no way for a person to walk on the top of the sea in the midst of a storm and stay on the water just walking on the waves of the sea. But Peter was doing it, walking on the water until he looked and said, ooh, look at the problems I'm going through. Then he went down. There's a lesson in that. Everybody's got in-laws, outlaws, people that don't always show the best side. We all have things going on. But as we start saying, Lord, and even Peter, his way of saying what he said to Jesus even seemed to have a little doubt in it, but yet there must have been enough faith there that God used it to put him on top of that water. Lord, if that's you. Oh God, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through right now. I'm going through a storm of my life. I mean, it is stormy. It is rough out here. But I believe I'm a child of God. I've been going to church, reading my Bible and praying. Lord, if you're real, can you help me one more time? After all the times he's blessed us, all the times he's lifted us up, all the times he's rescued us, all the times he's given us things that we couldn't have got any other way except it came from God. And then all of a sudden, here we are, said, if you're there. Let me do the impossible. He's so merciful, so kind, so gentle. He's so simple. If you in your simple-minded way just approach him in whatever way you have to do it. For Peter it was, Lord, if that's you. Now he knew it was him. Ain't no way that could be happening without Peter knowing that's Jesus walking out there. After all he'd seen, all those miracles, all these things happening, only nobody could do what he was doing. Jesus, he'd left all to follow him. He had seen him do the impossible over and over and over. And here he comes walking on the water. He just left him a few minutes ago. He was with him. He knows what he looks like. He knows he can do the impossible, but here he is. Lord, if that's you, let me do the impossible. Let me just come out there where you are. Let me be close to you again, even though I'm going through these trials. And Jesus has simply said one of two words he could have said. It's really simple. He said, come, when he could have said, go. Wouldn't you rather hear him say come than hear him say go? I don't want to hear him say go away. I want to hear him say come unto me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Just looking at how God operates, it's like that little reader I had in the first grade when I was trying to learn how to read.
Right.
Just little words like yes, no, you know, my, mom, Ted, dad, I am good boy. A good boy. I finally got where I could read that. I am a good boy. because I repeated it after my teacher so many times I finally memorized it. I am a good boy. Tom went to town. Repent and be baptized. Well, what do you have to do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. But what can I do to get myself saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. How can I get sin out of my life? Repent and be baptized. You know, my teacher kept saying, Ted went to town so many times that I finally got to where I knew where Ted went. To town. And I heard Acts 2:38 preached so many times, but I never really got it until just before I received the Holy Ghost. Raised in church. Heard them talk about it over and over. Saw a lot of people get baptized. Heard them testify. Heard them sing about it. Heard my daddy preach about it. But it never really dawned on me just how significant that simple passage of Scripture in the Word of God really is. This is God's simple plan to take us out of the curse that He placed on humanity. The curse that He put against all that are disobedient, who follow after wickedness and choose not to follow after Christ. The way that God has made it so simple, through the blood of Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you're a beginner at becoming a Christian or if you've been trying to live for God for 40 years, that's still the plan.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. It's so simple. It's so simple. But everybody's looking for something. They want to make God into something He's not. You know, you can walk into some of these cathedrals and you can see all kinds of things that people pray to. And you can actually pick up the newspaper and you can read how God answers the prayers or the dead people as they pray to dead people. The prayers get answered. Miracles happen because the dead hear them. Dead people hear their prayers. I'm not here to throw stones at anybody. I just don't believe that. Sorry, I just don't believe dead people hear prayers. If you believe that, God can still save you. I've known of people praying to dead people and still got saved because God heard the prayer. And in spite of their way of looking at things and their ignorance, God still loved them enough that He went ahead and intercepted the prayer and forgave them for praying to the dead. That's how loving and kind He is. If you just show you want to pray, God will hear your prayer. You might think you're praying to a stick, but in your ignorance you may be. But God's right. His ear is where the stick is. You can't pray to anything without God hearing it. He overhears every conversation. Now, if any of us who know about Him and who have been raised up from falling, and have become His servants and have not allowed ourselves to be beguiled by Satan, if we should decide now to go and pray to some other god, we'd have a problem. It would be a bad problem. But for somebody that knows nothing about God, there's that something inside that reaches for a higher power. Something greater. Something beyond all of this. They may not know what it is, but in their ignorance, they want to call on something. Because if only in this life we have hope, we don't really have much to look forward to. But to know that there's something higher that we can look up to bring some hope to a human being. And when you find out that there really is a God, and there really is a Jesus who can really make this happen for you, it may be at a moment when you've been going all the wrong directions, and you've been praying to all the wrong things, and you've been believing all the wrong doctrines. But right in the middle of that, Jesus Christ steps in, and He sees your simple way, and He looks on your heart. And it's not the words you've been saying, and it's not the thoughts you've been thinking, and it's not the rebellions and the ways you've been sinning. All that matters is He sees a heart that wants to serve Him. And with that knowledge, God is able to take that heart that wants to serve Him and take that little simple process. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. How about the sinner just sins so much all day long, just does crazy things, just runs with women or men and just or both and does this and does that and just can't live right and just a slob. What about him? Same message. Repent. Well, what about somebody who's been good all of his life? Just never would hurt anybody, never would say an unkind word. What about that one? Same message. Repent. What does that person have to repent of? Repent because you're a human being. We're all cursed. If you didn't sin, it's still in your blood. Somebody before you did. Besides that, you did sin by saying that, because that's a lie. Lying is sin. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Amen. We praise God. So, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. See, when the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, we should just believe that. Don't make it so complicated. Try to figure it all out. How can it happen? How can you be in Christ? Just be there. Just be there. Know that you love God and you want to serve Him. That's 98% of the battle. You just know you want to serve God. He can take 2% and make this thing work. Just let Him do the rest of it. He'll take your sins away. He'll wash you white as snow. He'll place you in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And then it's simple. It's just a matter of saying yes to God all the time. He always says yes to us. Don't ever say no. When the preacher preaches, even if it stings a little bit, hurts a little bit, it doesn't seem quite right, but yet it's not. He's not asking you to sin. He's not asking you to say no to God. He's not asking you to become a rebellious person. The preacher's not asking you to do wrong things. He's not asking you to get drunk and become a prostitute or a pimp. He's not asking you to do any of these crazy things. He's not asking you to rob a bank or kill anybody. He's not asking you to start lying or become a con person or cheat people. He's not asking for any of that. But he's just asking for simple obedience to God, which might require you to change your ways. But if the way you're going is taking you to hell, who wouldn't want to change your ways? And sometimes it hurts for somebody to point out you're going the wrong way. A lost person always thinks he's going the right way. I mean, you turn around so many times and you're lost, you finally got it figured out. I know this is the way. I know this is the way. And you go and you go and you go, and after a while you see something you saw earlier. I was here an hour ago. Okay, that wasn't the way, but I know this one's it. This is it, so I'll take this way. And it happens again. Somebody stopped me on the road one day, and I knew things were not looking right. riding my bicycle. I was going home, on my way home, but I ran out of town. The stores weren't there anymore. I wonder, how could it happen? How could these stores not be here anymore? The signs were all pointing the wrong direction. They were telling you to go this way and go that way, but nothing was telling me, nothing was right. And somebody that knew me came by and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Home." "Not in this direction, you're not." "Sure I am. I know how to get home." But you know, after a while, you finally get convinced, or you just have to go all the way to China. There has to come a turning point at some point. And don't be so stubborn that you can't listen to a preacher or somebody that knows the way, or at least hear the Word of God, somebody reading out of the Bible, or just get out on your knees and let God speak to your heart. There's got to be a time when you turn around. And it's really simple. From the direction you're going, turn around. I learned to do that when I was a baby. Turn around. Just turn around. We used to play Ring Around the Roses and all kinds of little things we did where we had to go around and turn around and or all fall down. Turn around. Randall, you're going the wrong way. At first I said, "I am not." And they even said, "Have it your way." But you know, after they left and I kept going that way, it dawned on me, maybe I need to consider what they said. It's hard to turn around when you think you're right. But you know, after I turned around, I could see the signs that were pointing me toward home. Same thing happens when we're talking about the kingdom of God, church, and preaching, and the Bible, and prayer, and all these things. I don't care how lost you are, if you get tired of this rough life and the terrible things that are happening, and the direction you're taking is bringing misery and pain, and sorrow, and sometimes you don't feel like it's even worth going on, why don't you listen to us one more time say, "Turn around." Just turn around. You're going the wrong way. I know it's hard to admit it, but you're going the wrong way. If you'll just turn around, then you'll start seeing some things that'll let you know, hey, now I'm going the right direction. Praise God. And Paul went on, he said, and it's still pretty early. You know, really, I don't feel bad about preaching for an hour. Although many times I see in the eyes of those I'm preaching to, you feel bad. It's terrible that we can do everything we do all week long and become restless in just a couple of hours of church. Hallelujah. And bored. Hallelujah. Tired. Jesus. Wanting to go. Jesus. Can't, you know, I know a lot of things come up. A lot of you had a hard time getting here. I could see it when you came in. And it was tough. And it was tough on me because I was having to do things that I needed to be free to do other things. It's rough. We all need whatever it takes to try to work this out to where we can adjust and get here before the visitors come. It's amazing the people that don't even serve God sometimes show up and they ask, "Where are the church people?" And I don't know how to answer them because I've spent 23 years telling church people, "You need to be here 30 minutes before the service. Pray." Don't forget who I am. I'm the pastor. Talking for God Almighty who loves you. And it's really simple. Do it or don't. But God wants a yes. If you don't, nobody's going to hate you, but sure would be easier for you. I promise, if you would be obedient. And we can all say, well, God knows my heart, I want to. Well, you can want to get baptized in Jesus' name and split hell wide open too. I mean, if I understand the book. God's a judge. I'm not saying anybody's going to hell. Please don't get me wrong, I say that. But I want to get your attention. Because I don't have any Bible anywhere that tells me how to be saved any other way other than the way God put it in the Bible. And so I just have to preach what He has given us. I hear a lot of people say, but don't you believe this and don't you believe that? And would a good God let my nice grandma be lost? Well, if I could read in the Bible, a good God would not let your grandma be lost. I would say, absolutely, you're correct. And your grandma made it. But all I read in here is He calls everybody to repent. And I don't have any better sense than just to stick with what God says and deliver the message that He wrote. Man, can you imagine the post office department, what kind of a mess the world would be in if all the postal workers rewrote all the letters? They open it up and say, I don't like the way that's written. Let me change this right here. Everybody gets a letter and it's all sealed with scotch tape and you know what happened. The postman meddled with it. He didn't like what your aunt was writing to you. He changed the word so it'd be more pleasant for you. That's what everybody's doing with the Word of God. God delivers His Word. Somebody says, let me see that. Oh, let's change this. Change that. You don't have to believe this. Don't do that. And the time they get through telling you what it says, it's not anything like the Bible reads. Most of the preachers in the world are like postmen that work at the post offices. They're opening your mail and reading it to you. They don't even want you to look at it. I mean, my own daughter, Michelle, pretty much common knowledge that her mother, Michelle and Melody, my daughter's mother, left us, the three of us, and went about her own life doing another thing. And so I was a single parent trying to do the work of God with two daughters. And that's how I came to New England with my two girls. And, but my little daughter, Michelle, for a period of time, stayed with her mother. That first year or so, she was with her mother. And I love that girl. I love Michelle. And so I was teaching Bible college in Memphis, Tennessee. And I would stop once in a while what I was doing. I'd write Michelle a letter. Dear Michelle, I love you so much. I miss you. Wish I could be with you. Write me back, tell me how it's going. I really do love you, your dad. And I'd mail it. I did this over and over. Never got a return letter. Never a phone call. No communication for over a year from my daughter that I love so much. I'd write long letters to her, say, Michelle, you don't know how much I really care about you. Please write your daddy a letter. Let me know that you're doing okay. I love you so much. One day I got a phone call. Daddy, this is Michelle. She was only about 13 years old. Mama says, if you would have me, that I could come to Memphis and be with you for a few days. I said, would I have you? And she said, well, all those letters you've written have told me that you don't like me anymore. Said you wrote in every letter you wrote me, I don't want you. I don't love you. And I hope I never see you again. My wife had been intercepting the mail and rewriting it and giving it to my daughter. That's the same thing people are doing when they bring you the Word of God and try to tell you a way that's not right. There's a way that seems right. Now, when Michelle got those letters, she thought that was coming from her daddy. Isn't that heartbreaking? That was tough. But you know what? This thing, these things, these conniving spirits, these evil deeds that people do sometimes, they always backfire. I gave her the phone number to a lawyer that could help her. And it wasn't long before we were traveling across the country singing together. Look up. Lift up your eyes. You got a right to be happy. We found ourselves in New England trying to start a church. Impossible. Look at this. A southern preacher, southern country cornbread preacher with two teenage daughters looking for boyfriends in New England in the wintertime, out of gas with no money and no friends to start what we have going here. And I don't care how miserable it may seem. I promise you, everything that's going on right now in Norwich, Connecticut, pertaining to this church or what we're doing, is so far beyond anything we were going through back then. Because I stood on the side of the road with my car out of gas, my daughter's begging for hairspray, and I didn't have a penny in my pocket. I remember crawling through that van, scraping the carpet, looking for a change. Too stubborn to call home and ask for some money. And even during that time, when I first arrived in Norwich, I had people stopping me saying, "Could you give me a quarter?" Some things never change. Yeah. But I stood there not knowing what I'm going to do. The circumstances and the thought process I was going through said, get out of here and do it now. Call home. Have them to wire you some money. Leave this God-forsaken, demonized country and go back south like the woman told you to do at Friendly's. She told me flat, right after I arrived here, sitting there, all I could afford was a glass of water. And I was sitting at Friendly's right down there in Norwich Town, drinking that water, and this woman was saying, "You need to go back where you came from. We don't need any churches here. All the churches are empty. Nobody wants churches in Norwich. I hate Norwich. You'll hate Norwich. Everybody hates Norwich." I didn't know anybody I could look to. Too stubborn to call my dad and mom. I mean, my dad had already told me, "I'll be glad when you settle down and quit going off on these wild ventures, because you always have to call home and I have to rescue you." And I wasn't about to call him. Not this time. If I had to crawl, I wasn't going to call him. And I did have to crawl. God saw us through all that. But you know, there were some times back then we could have looked and said, "It's just not worth it." And there are times now we can look and say, "It's just not worth it." What you go through in order to make that next step. What you go through in order to have a testimony that how good God's been. Hallelujah. What you go through in order just to stay simply in tune with God. But it's always been, still is, really simple. No matter how crazy it gets. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I learned that by saying yes and never saying no to God, He always said a yes to me. And any direction we would take, He would bless it. The difference in the world and the church crowd, almost everything that people that are not serving God touches falls apart. The people serving God can touch something that's falling apart, and God makes a testimony out of it. A victorious testimony out of it. Some of the brokest people in the world have some of the greatest testimonies about what all they went through and survived in order just to make it to church, especially today with gas prices like they are, just to get to the house of God with the pressures of finance on them, but still made it. And it wasn't just to get to church so I can get a little bit of relief. The relief was there all the time. The pressure was there. There is joy in knowing that you're with Jesus. Especially when you're in a big, dark valley, down in a cellar, and it seems like the devil's coming from every side, to know that Jesus is with you right then and there. Did you know there's not a problem you go through that Jesus doesn't go through it with you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's it going to take to have a big church congregation in Norwich? It's just going to take simply being friendly and loving God. Now, we can hand out tracts and knock on doors and spend a lot more money on all kinds of media devices. We can do a lot of things. We can feed multitudes in every town on the East Coast. But the simplicity of it all is just be friendly. He that showeth himself friendly will have friends. And love God. You don't have to force anybody into this. You know the truth, but you don't have to force it down anybody's throat. Jesus never forced it down ours. You can try to tell people, you need this, you need this, you need this, you need to see this, you need... That's like taking a flower and saying, you grow now. And you pull, you know, go out and see the lily in the field. Say, I don't like it because you're so small, I'm going to make you taller. And you pull it up. See what happens. You destroy it. And it's so easy for us to destroy people, expecting them to be able to do what can only be done as God brings it forth. I cannot create a soul that will live for God, but God can. I cannot breathe life into a creature and cause that person to be a creature, a son of God, a child of God. But God can. But I can do my part. I can be a witness. Because that's something the Lord told us to do. It's really simple. Go into all the world. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Well, he didn't just ask us to. He said, you will. Because once we got his spirit in us, it's just a normal thing that we're going to be a witness. Because with the spirit of Christ, there are things that just change in our lives. People see the difference. You are a witness. If you got the Holy Spirit, you are a witness. You don't have to try to be a witness. Just be real. Don't try to cover up the Holy Ghost. Let it shine. That's what the light is that we're to let shine. It's that presence of God in our lives. It's really simple. Let your light so shine. Now that is not taking your Bible with you and taking somebody by the ear and twisting it a little bit and saying, now you listen to me. That's not letting our light shine. Letting our light shine is just simply living for God. When everybody around us is not. You stand out like a sore thumb. They get jealous of you. They don't like you. You get all the favors. You get all the raises. Everybody talks about you, talks nice, and never say anything nice about them. You get all the breaks. You seem to know all the answers. Nobody else can figure out what to do. Somehow you church people, I don't know how you do it, but you always know what to say at just the right time. I can't stand you people. Well, what you need to do is become part of us. Then you can think good too. Because all we did is learn to say yes instead of no. Walk forward rather than backward. Point our direction upward rather than downward. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Let me finish reading this and we're through. Because Paul made some confessions right in here. He, first of all, he starts this off and says, please bear with me a little. in my folly. You know the word folly, what that means. It's like in my kidding around more so, or my light-hearted way of approaching what I'm going to talk about here. Bear with me. In other words, it's okay if a preacher wants to laugh or say something that might appear to be funny. I hope it's okay. I'm in a heap of trouble if it's not. Somebody said, I know God has a sense of humor because look what He created. He created you. Talking about me. I guess that was a compliment. I don't know. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me. Then he talks about how I'm jealous of you because I've, especially one husband, I may present you as a chaste virgin, but I'm afraid. Now, the folly is, here's a man of faith. Here's a man that's chosen to be an apostle of the Lord. Here's a man that got converted from being what he was, a very intelligent man, an educated man who thought he was doing God a service by putting the Christians to death. Here's this guy that had become a real tool and a real witness and a powerhouse for God. The folly of it was he was writing words like, I'm afraid. They knew he wasn't afraid. He was just letting them hear the kind of talk that people talk. I fear lest by any means as serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. This was folly as far as he was concerned. To even have a thought like that, that a church person filled with the Holy Ghost could have their mind corrupted when this is really so simple. But just in a way so they could receive it. He said, I'm afraid. I fear that after I brought you to God and helped you to get established, that this old devil that deceived Eve is going to deceive some of you people. Now, he was really saying to those folks, this is folly for me to even say this. This is a joke. Don't you see? It's not going to happen. That's what he's saying to them. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's so simple, how can it happen? All you got to do is stay with Jesus. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, who we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, you already got the right one, in other words, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, that's kind of like I am. Though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Have I messed you up by showing you how simple this really is? To show you that even a guy that's rude in his speech, that there's all kinds of things you may not even like sometimes. You may not like my mannerism. You may not like the way I do things, the way I say things. I've just been free. There is a freedom that goes with being real. This isn't a religion. This is not a religious cult. We are a freedom. Let God be God and you be real people. I can look you in the eye and slobber and tell you to repent and wipe my slobber off. But I'm still a man of God, and I hope you can bear with me a little bit in my false teeth gook. My teeth are like the stars. They come out at night. But when I put them in, I put this pink stuff on them. They stick to my gums. Then when I talk, it oozes out. Then I go like this, and I like this. And I have to watch the, you know, when we edit the video, I have to watch so I can get views of some of you. And I have to search hard to cover up myself because I look so bad. But as soon as the camera hits some of you, you're going, while I'm preaching, going like this. And I put the camera on you, you're going, you're worse than I am. Sometimes I had to go back several weeks to find a smiling face and put it in there. But sometimes I really mess up because I just got through having the camera on you and you had a purple dress on. Now you got a green one on 2 seconds later. Oh, well, I'll get off of that. Let us all stand. You bear with me in my folly, I'll bear with you in yours. But we are real and we're free. And this is God's church. And I'm encouraged. And I'm in New England. And I don't plan to go anywhere. Because I love it here. 23 years after they said, you'll hate this place. I love being here more than I've ever loved it in my life. And I want to be here. I want to be here. There's more hope in this place than you can even think of. There is hope in this place. Because Jesus is here. Jesus is blessing this church. Jesus is blessing our efforts. I love being a part of this ministry. Hallelujah. Bills and all.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yawning and all. Slobbering and all. I love it.
Thank you, Lord.
I love it.
Hallelujah.
Bad notes and discords and out of tune stuff. I love it all. But I'm still able to tell you what to do. It's still repentance. Baptism in Jesus' name. And anybody that comes in here and preaches any other thing, don't listen to them. Don't be like Eve and listen to that devil. It says you can do it some other way. There is no other way. Paul's message was a message. He used to kill people when they would preach it. Now he was a preacher of the truth. And these churches were being established with other pastors. And he would write back trying to instruct people with no telephones, no electricity, no notepads, no ballpoint pens, no computers, no typewriters, no cars and trucks, and no UPS. And yet writing letters from an old, dingy, dirty dungeon somewhere, hungry, nasty, encouraging everybody to keep faith in God. Keep holding on. Everything's going to be all right. Yes. How you doing, Paul? Oh, it's not too bad. There's a lot of potential here. Sometimes you might have to grit your teeth to make somebody that's doing you wrong look good. But it's going to be worth it. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. And when something comes your way and it seems like it's going to push you the wrong way, say no to that. Say yes to God. Yes, no. If you don't know any other words but yes and no, you've got enough to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I sort of got a new hero the last few days. Let me just tell you this and I'll let you go. There's a gentleman, you might know about him, maybe you don't, I don't know, but he was born with no limbs. No arms, no legs. He's like 20-something years old. No arms, no legs, and 1 foot attached to his bottom some way. That's it. A body with no arms and no legs. That's the way he was born. They don't know why. Otherwise, he's healthy. But I've been watching him on the internet, on YouTube. In fact, I got some of his stuff on my apostolic site. It's an inspiration to me.
Yes, sir.
You know, just to see what somebody has done to overcome. Amen. There's not anything that man can't do. Amen. And probably do it better than most of us. He don't have any. Yeah, he does motivational speeches. I mean, stands on a table on his one foot and walks back and forth, you know, on that one foot, talking to people with no arms. I mean, he drives a car. You just have to see it to understand how this can happen. Answers the telephone.
Yep, throws balls.
Yeah, throws balls. Swims, goes swimming, dives off of diving boards.
Life without limits.
Life without limbs. No limbs, no limits, I think is what he called it. What an inspiration. Has a double degree in college. And types real fast with just one toe.
Yeah,
incredible. If a guy like that can overcome all he's overcome, we ought to be able to just live for God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.